then your life will take on its own character and it'll just live it out. And you, and for the first time in your life, without controlling your life, you can enjoy your life. But when you try to grab a hold of it, look how much stuff you and I messed up trying to control it. And the mess was just doomed from the start because we tried to control it. So you see now, follow this angel, follow this leading of God and his anointing to confront these adversaries. You shall not bow down to their gods, nor serve them, nor do after their works, but you shall utterly do what? Now, if I'm overthrowing something, it's lifted up over me. It's a thing on a pedestal that's got to be thrown down for me to overcome it. You'll overthrow them and quite break down their what? Where is the bondage? It's in the mind. Casting down what? See, that scripture is a parallel scripture to 2 Corinthians 10.
Yes, sir.
So he said, throw down the idols and their images. Now you correlate that to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. So the devil's images are coming against what you know about God.
Yes, sir.
So what's going to happen? You can begin to run from the images in your own mind. You can imagine something that will overcome you even before you get to the objective. You can't go into any environment imagining how it's going to turn out. Because God runs this. A lot of times you pick up delays and adversaries because the devil knows that this is going to be a big blessing to you. And God has planned it out. So the devil sets up barriers. So you just got to believe. You got to keep believing no matter what it looks like. And that's hard sometimes because the sight realm and the sense realm is pitted against you because the devil controls that environment.
Yeah. Yes.
What you see, hear, taste, touch, and smell is where the devil is operative. So therefore, you got to learn to do what? Deny your senses. You got to deny your senses. And the only way you can deny your senses is if you deaden them. You got to weaken them. You got to weaken your soul by fasting. Remember David said that? He weakened his soul. He weakened his senses by fasting. As you fast, you make yourself weak. And the Bible says when you're weak, then God is strong. So you don't want to walk around bold and big and proud and arrogant. Just get more weak and God will be working. You just won't know it. When you're weak, he's strong, and you can make that adversary break because God's power will do it and not your own. Look at this. You shall serve the Lord your God, and he shall bless thy bread and thy water, and I will take what?
Sickness.
Now, based on all these conditions he just mentioned, you're going into your own soul to confront the adversaries that have bound you. He says you obey the voice of this angel that's leading you. Don't bow to any idols. Cast down every imagination. And under those conditions, I will take sickness away from the midst of thee. That's a strong promise right there. If I obey God, if I stay determined to follow him no matter what, I don't let my senses take advantage of me. God promises I will take sickness away from the midst of thee. There shall nothing cast their young nor be barren in the land. The number of thy days I will fulfill. I will. Now look at all these statements of God's will. What he will do. I will send fear before thee and will destroy all the people in whom thou shalt come. And I will make all thine enemies turn their backs unto thee. They'll be running from you. And I will send hornets before you, which shall drive out the Hivites and the Canaanites and the Hittites from before thee. I will not drive them out from before thee in 1 year, lest the land become desolate and the beasts of the field multiply against thee. By little and little, I will drive them out from before thee until you be what?
Increased.
And do what?
Inherit
the land. This thing comes by inheritance because it's organic. He's growing a child in you to maturity, so the child will be mature enough to handle the inheritance. You can have a baby at 6 months old that's a billionaire. But guess what? That money is in a trust until the baby grows up to be able to handle it. See, the Bible says in Galatians what? When you're a child, you're just like a servant. Why? Because you're not mature enough to handle the inheritance. Even though you be Lord of all, you're not mature enough to take it. So God has to see you increase. God monitors the inside of you to see how mature you are. That's all he's monitoring, to see, can you handle what I want to do? He waits on you to grow up. And what's the telltale sign of a kid? A little baby like Jada or Jeremiah and all your little babies, little kids, and what's the common denominator for all of them? They're selfish. They don't think about nothing but what I want. I want that popsicle. And I don't care what you got to do to get it. I want that popsicle. But as you get older, you know you need a balanced diet. You just don't eat sugar. Well, some of you just don't eat sugar. You know you need some greens, some fruits. You need a balanced diet. But a kid, what do you want for dinner? Some cake, cookies. You know, I figure, you know, some ice cream. And some. They'll eat that all day long if you feed it to them. Because they're immature. So what happens in church? The devil's feeding them a heavy diet of sugar. The meals are not balanced, so now they're sugar-coated. They don't want to hear anything about discipline, nothing about war, nothing about taking on the adversary. Just prophesying to me what?
Smooth
things. Smooth. Just talk smooth, man. Just don't say nothing that's going to challenge me. Just talk smooth stuff. You know, as a woman, you found out that smooth joker was detrimental to you. Just smooth talking. He's smooth. Man, he's so smooth. He was the greatest dancer on the dance floor. According to Sister Sledge, I wonder why. He's the greatest dancer that I've ever seen. But you got that joker home? Married that joker? Smooth ain't going to get you through. You know the guy that's going to tell you some things. Now look, Joanne, I'm telling you right now, we're not doing that. Now, you might as well just shut your mouth and go on back in the den somewhere, because we're not buying that now. And you're thinking, man, you go back going there with your jaw stuck, but you'll be all right. Because you know that guy got a stopping point. See, if you're married to a guy for a long time, you could be talking to him and everything be casual. You can change. You can tell when he changed character. When he changed character, you know, I would leave that joke alone. Now that joke has changed character, man. I don't. You look at you. What'd you say? No. What did you just say? Oh, not. No. Well, no big deal. Start looking at your shoes and all that. And he not a mean guy, but he got a stopping point. You know, cause women tend to get nervous and start talking a lot. And he said, "Look. Be quiet. I'm not a child." Hey, look, I told you to be quiet. Now, you just be quiet. Now, he's trying to stay monotone and, you know, low, and you just keep on flapping your trap. Nobody gonna hit nobody. Russ talking about upside your head. No, man. Now you got to go to before God and get beat down because you're doing something stupid. And you're trying to tell them, look, relax. Nothing down here is that big of a deal. Nothing. It's not that important. So you see now, God is working on us to have himself increase as we decrease. We are accommodating unclean spirits and demons. So we've got to decrease to get rid of them. As you weaken the Adamic nature, the stronghold of the demons are weakened also. Weaken that thing and the demons will be weakened. That's what you want to see happen. You want to see that thing diminish in its ability to control you, And you'll find your emotions, your feelings, all that stuff will begin to get more and more accosted and weakened as you let it go. That's what you want to see happen. You want to see all the energy of the old nature diminish. Because in so doing, you're diminishing the power of the demons to interact with you. They gotta still eat the dirt, dust of the ground. Remember the snake in the Garden of Eden? He'll live off of what? The dust of the ground. He gotta use that old Adamic nature. Weaken that thing, and you're giving God the leverage necessary to drive those things out of there. And then he'll backfill with more of the Holy Ghost. Your personality will change, your emotions will change, your mind will change, and you'll see a new you built in the inside of you that you've never met before. You know, most people have never met themselves. That's pretty bad now. I'm walking around with me all day and I never met myself. Because I got a false personality. Most human beings are schizophrenic. They got multiple personalities. They just change character in front of you from this to that and from this to this. And like Sybil, you know, you got 90 personalities. Which one is the real you? And they're inspired by different demonic personalities as they take hold of the person. So what you want to do is let God defragment your soul. See, your soul can be fragmented. You'll take on multiple personalities through multiple sexual partners. Did you know that? You lay around with a lot of folk, you'll have traces of their souls in you, and you'll act like them, compartmentalized in you. You'll have no traces of them. So God has to do what? Restore your soul, the Bible says in Psalm 23. He restoreth my soul when it's been fragmented, shattered. Circumstances in your life can shatter your soul and fragment it. And you'll have compartments built into you to protect yourself and those little fragmented areas, and the demons stand guard over those fragmented areas, and you'll shift into different personalities to protect yourself. Talk to some people, they get loud and abrasive real fast. That's a defense mechanism. They get you off of them. And you're wondering, I didn't even mean nothing by that. Why are you jumping mad so fast? It's a defense mechanism. You got a husband or you got a boyfriend, you get mad real fast, you're his mama at that point. He learned to defend himself from his mama's words by getting angry and getting blown up. And so now when you come to him and make any kind of suggestion or anything to him, look, I mean, I know what I'm doing. I don't need you telling me what to do. And you're thinking, I just told you to move the shoes. But that you were his mom at that point. His mama has damaged him and maybe did something to him growing up, beat him or would have cursed him a lot or whatever. And he developed a defense mechanism to protect himself. And you have now become that person, and it's a spirit that rises up so he won't have any intrusion made into his soul by anybody's words, especially a woman. You know, a lot of guys don't like women. Did you know that? A lot of them hate women. Hip hop and rap is built around the fact that these guys hate women. The whole culture rides on the back of woman hatred. They hate them, despise women. Hoes and female dogs, that's all they call them. Give the dog a bone, that's the lyrics in the music. Give the dogs an erect penis in the mouth. Give the dog a bone. And the girls riding down the street listening to that. And guess what they become? They become exactly what those guys are singing to them. And you got young girls walking around, now older women walking around seeing themselves as dogs. And I'll do anything a dog will do because that's what the fellas want. This is bad. So we need some sanctified holy folks who have had God rise up in them to displace that old nature with himself so we can live this life. And look what he says now. He says, I'm going to drive out these Hivites and Canaanites and Hittites from before thee. I will not drive them out from before thee in 1 year. So you're not going to have this done like in 6 months. Lest the land become desolate and the beast of the field multiply against you. By little and little I will drive them out before thee until thou be increased and inherit the land. And I will set thy bounds from the Red Sea even unto the Sea of the Philistines, and from the desert unto the river, for I will deliver the inhabitants of the land into your hand, and thou shalt drive them out before thee. You shall make no what? No agreements, no covenants with them, nor with their gods. When you agree with the adversary and everything they're doing, you also agree with the demons and Satan that rules them. You can't go into business with a sinner, because the sinner has another god. Everybody not under the blood of Jesus Christ and born again has another god governing their thinking, governing everything about them. It's not visible, you can't see it, but they have contrary thoughts to you.
Yes, sir.
Within the confines of church, there are varying degrees of deliverance. That's why you don't normally walk with everybody in church, because some people have not been delivered of things to the degree that you have. So therefore, they'll have things hanging them up that are not hanging you up. You can fellowship, you can love them, you can have a relationship based on the Lord with them, but a lot of places you'll go, they won't go, because they have a demon hanging them up. And see, if they have not broken covenant with the thing, that devil, while I'm standing here, will make allowances in their mind for what I'm saying. It's talking to them as I'm talking. Well, you know, that's the way he sees it. You know, that's his point of view. And you know, it's other ways to see this also, because God has also shown me in my prayer time that also you could see it this way. And, you know, as a matter of fact, the Lord has always shown me, also shown me that Lecrae is an apostle. You know, you know, and you have a, you know, you see the head just. Look, man, look. Says something about Joel Osteen, that's judging. See what he just said, that's judging. And he shouldn't have mentioned his name, because you're not supposed to mention the name. You're not supposed to touch God's anointed. And see, when you did that, man, that was a contrary thing that you did against God and his word. And therefore, I'm seeing that you are really a false apostle, because, see, you said that about Joel Osteen, and Joel Osteen is a man of God. I've always listened to him. I read his books also. And I believe that every day is Friday. And I have your mind just... The devil can be talking to you while the Holy Ghost is trying to get through to you and have your mind just blown. You're normally quiet in your mind when you're listening. If you're hearing a lot of voices in your head, it's something wrong. I mean, your mind running all day long with something talking to you, and you can't quiet your own mind down, and it's your mind, you know you got an invading force at that point. He says, I'm going to drive these things out a little at a time, make no agreement with them and with their gods. They shall not dwell in thy land, lest they make thee sin against me. For if you serve their gods, it will surely be a what?
Snare.
A snare unto you. Fallen angels and their demonic entities that they control seek to find places in your soul to set up images, emotional states, things in you that they still have little mechanisms, little foxes embedded in your soul to try to undermine your spiritual walk. They're very intelligent. They're very strategic. They have varying kinds of tactics they use, and they change tactics based on what the adversary is. If you hang around this long enough, they'll get to know you. You know, they don't bother me now because I know them. I know they don't like me. I don't like them. They're always doing something to you. But hey, that's the way it is. All is fair in love and war. They're trying not to go to hell. Why would you begrudge somebody trying not to go to hell? You would do anything too not to go to hell. So if you're assigned to help them go to hell, why would they like you? Except the fact you're in a war, except the fact they're your adversary, and except the fact they don't like you. And just live it. Live it on out. It's no big deal, really. You're in a dirty, low-down, hand-to-hand warfare. Have you ever read in Ephesians where it says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness in high places? That word for wrestle is the word for a contact contest. It's hand-to-hand combat. So you're not wrestling with something way over there somewhere. That thing is up close and personal, right up on you. That's what we're dealing with. So these are the adversaries. They are in strongholds. They create these little encampments. They operate strategically from base camps set up in people, and they have a network in you. The best thing I can compare demons to is an anthill or a beehive. And you notice now the leader and the ruler over anthill, the beehive, is never masculine. They had a queen. Demonic elements in Satan's kingdom is built on femininity. You got to know that. Everything about the devil, everything about his personality and his demeanor takes on feminine character. He operates through feminine character, not masculine character. The devil, for all intents and purposes, is a homosexual angel. He's like a sissy angel. You know, he won't get in your face and just come at you. He tries to deceive you. He tries to trick you. He tries to con. He's a serpentine-like creature. Now, he'll change character and confront you if he sees that you're not going to go for the tricks, and he'll change from a serpent to a dragon. Then he gets in your face and tries to breathe fire on you. Then he comes. That's how you want him, though. You want him to come right at you, not all this behind-the-scenes stuff. It's better to see the adversary in front of you, knowing that thing hates you, more so than to have somebody trying to be your friend putting a dagger in your back. The Bible talks about my own familiar friend turned on me. Referring to Judas Iscariot, he betrayed the master with a kiss. Man, I'd rather have you there with a gun to my head, knowing you're my enemy, more so than trying to be my friend going to do me in. A lot of girlfriends have came into your house and took your man. Sipping your coffee at your counter, trying to talk innocent talk, and all the while looking at Leroy. I'm gonna take Leroy. She just don't know. Joanne, you wanna go shopping? Yeah, girl, let's go. I'll drive. All the while got her eyes on Leroy. See, the devil's like that.
Yes, he is.
He's a two-faced, sinister thing. That's one of the things we gotta overcome in church. You know one of the biggest things you gotta overcome in church? The fact that women are suspicious of each other. You know, women have a hard time trusting each other. And they'll tell you, I know women. And they're a woman now. I know a woman. See, a woman is a conniving something. I thought you was a woman. What kind of dirty lowdown mess is this? Yeah, they slick. They think up all kinds of stuff. They be looking left and going right. You know, it's a slick thing with them. And that's a woman talking to you. So you got to get over all that junk that's programmed in the world about interactions with women. All that stuff got to be dismissed from the body of Christ. It takes the Holy Ghost to get that stuff up and out of you and pushed away from you, so you can walk in the Spirit and be the same around everybody. See, because a lot of these old conniving witchcraft working spirits like to get in little cliques and pit their group against you and, you know, all that stuff, man. You know, I'm trying to see who looks better than who and who's getting attention and all that stuff right there. So all the flesh. It's all flesh. It's all the devil. It's all nasty. It's all stinking. It all has to die and be dismissed and disregarded from church. Because if we don't get rid of that, we'll never have unity in the church. It undermines unity. All this stuff is imported from the world, and it came from a satanic programming. All right, today we're going to deal with some of these things that are trying to bind souls, and we're going to zero in on two particular things, because if you start dealing with demons, you'd probably be here all day dealing with the thousands of them. So you got to just kind of parcel it out and deal with whatever is on the agenda for that particular day. Look at 1 Samuel chapter 15. 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 23. Look what he says. For rebellion is as what? Rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as what? Iniquity and idolatry, because you have rejected the word of the Lord. He has also rejected thee from being king. This is the prophet Samuel talking to Saul. But he gives a very revealing statement here when he says, rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is like idolatry. What's he talking about? Rebellion is as witchcraft, because we got to examine what we're rebelling against. When you rebel, you're rebelling against the established government of God. Jesus Christ is Lord in God's government. So when you don't submit to the lawful commands of that angel leading you out in Exodus 23, when you refuse to allow God to lead you and have jurisdiction over your life, you've got to find an alternative to govern you. And the alternative is witchcraft. Why does witchcraft come into play? Because I'm not going to do the will of God. Guess whose will I'm going to do? My own, which makes me the child of the devil, because the devil does his will. So now I got to use this energy called witchcraft. And you find also in Galatians chapter 5 that witchcraft is what? It's a work of the flesh. So the normal status you walked in unsaved was witchcraft. You operated in witchcraft. You just didn't know what you were doing. You were using witchcraft. It's a lot of tools of the trade in witchcraft. Witchcraft will intimidate. Witchcraft will dominate. Witchcraft will instigate. And witchcraft will try to connive and trick you. Try to use all kinds of tricks of the trade to get things done. Innuendos and little phrases and little tricks of the trade to get your way. Now you got to understand, as a woman now, most of you were bathed in witchcraft. I mean, you got your way with a guy using witchcraft. Because, you know, you had the goodies. You know what the goodies are, right? I can use these goodies to get what I want. And you were out there, man, and the goodies was right, and the goodies was nice, and the goodies was useful, and you tapped into the goodies. That joker think he's saying something big. He just wait. Just wait. He just don't know. He ain't had the goodies. And when I put these goodies on him, goody, goody. That's what was going on. But you were practicing what? You were a witch. You were a cotton-picking witch. And here you are as a witch hanging around thinking you're a holy woman. You can import that right into church and come into church as a witch. Having an ulterior motive, all kinds of stuff operating in you that's left over from the world. And guess what's going to empower that witchcraft? A demon. And that demon going to have you just as slick as you've ever been. And then you become a diva in stilettos preaching to everybody with them skin tight dresses on. Everything, you know, just, and you just pointing in the church talking about the Lord. And then you're just a witch. Because you still using what? The goodies. The goodies. I'm parading those goodies around in the aisles, getting all the guys to bow down. The men want to see them. The women want to be them. Because, you know, he got the pastor up there. Look at her. She up there. Man, that's the first lady. Man, look at that body. I'm going to get my body tight like that. And I'm going to get myself an apostle. And I'm going to be a first lady. And I'm going to start having women's seminars so I can make some of this money. That's what's going on. Church is a big business with a lot of money. You get a pretty good-sized church. You know, every Sunday they'll take in about $5 million. So what do witches do? They travel from church to church to monitor what? How many people in the congregation? They make the calculation in their head. Okay, it's about 2,000 people here. On average, everybody give, let's say $100 a week or $50 a week, 2,000 people, $50 a week. Okay, boom, boom, boom. Okay, about $2 million a week. Let me see, I can get 10% of that every month. I'll be set. Okay, we have to pass that. So you got a pastor with a harem of concubines. They got condos, they're driving Bentleys, they're driving all kinds of, man, they living large, they get their nails done, they don't hear the lick of a snake like my mother, they don't even work. But the preacher boy takes in the money from the congregation through the tithe and redistributes it to the whores. And the whores are nothing but a tribe of witches set up camp in the church. What will they do? They'll protect that preacher because he's the source of their survival. He's the income source. The wife learns to just tolerate it because he takes care of her too. She's got the $2 million mansion. She's got the elaborate wardrobe. She's got the red sole shoes on. And she can be the first lady snuffing around in the pool up here preaching to everybody in those tight dresses. I ain't telling tales out of school. Everybody know. Hey, look, I'm right. Don't hate me because I'm right. It's a game. Church is a game. So God has to find himself some elect people that will step outside of that religious matrix and live this thing for real. And that's a rare person that will step outside of this kind of control. See, when you got that kind of control and that kind of power and you live with it, it's hard, man, to let that go. And that's what the demons are banking on, that you won't let go of that power you've had all your life and you've been using it. That's what the devil's banking on. He's banking on you not letting it go. See, this thing is real, man. This is power we're talking about. And you know, people don't relinquish power easily now. When you got some power and you've been able to use that power to get what you want, and it's financed a lot of operations, man, it's hard to let go of power, man. That is rough, for real. Let me find a good victim. Come here, Erica, let me use you as a victim. Erica's a pretty good girl. She know I won't hurt her. This is Erica, everybody. Good evening, Erica. You can trust me. If you take Erica right here, let's go over your resume a little bit, okay? What is your name?
Erica Eady.
Erica Eady. Okay. What have you recently accomplished in your life?
Graduated medical school.
She's Dr. Erica Eady. Medical doctor. She has finished medical school. Now, Erica's a good looking girl. Erica can put on some stuff and walk out there. You know, she's a doctor. Yes. She ain't got to worry about the money in the future. She's going to be all right, you know. But Erica's also born again and saved, so she's outside of that matrix. So what she's going to do is not subject to the matrix. But if the devil could get a hold of Erica, he'd have the perfect specimen to use. Put you out there, put your stuff on tight and right, strut around, got yourself a brand new Bentley. And everything, I'm a diva, I'm a doctor diva. I'm rolling heavy, heavy. Man, you could be down in the islands on vacation, going on cruises. And I went to the celebration for Erica when all the girls in her medical class graduated. There's about five of y'all, wasn't it? Man, five black doctors coming out of medical school together. These girls can roll heavy, heavy. But if the Holy Ghost don't get a hold of you, witchcraft can get a hold of you, and you can walk around calling the shots, be cute, have your makeup on, your hair done up, wardrobe immaculate, and you will look like, hey, everything normal. But divine through you is a power, a force that the devil's using. And if you get used to that power, it can be detrimental to you. Okay, Eric, I ain't gonna bother you. You know I love it. And see, what I'm saying is, a lot of y'all have come out of that same scenario. Some of you have gotten older, so you don't still have the same, you know. When you were young, though, they couldn't tell you nothing. You got saved when you got older because you lost that pizzazz, so I might well gonna get saved. You know. But see, the Bible calls a young person like that full of what? Youthful lust. See, there's a lust that goes with youth. Did you know that? That you gotta flee. The Bible says to flee youthful lust because you got a lot of pep in your step. Hormones are maxed out. You got the looks. Hadn't had any kids, so you don't have any stretch marks. You don't have no, you know, you just toned and tight and you young, and the devil can use you real good. I mean, I'm telling you factual stuff. I don't deal with theories and make-believe and fantasy, y'all. This is real life. So you got to know how the devil's going to come at you. He's going to take advantage of you where he sees fit. So therefore, he's going to lose what God blessed you with against you. Okay, take her. Stand up, baby. What's your name?
Catherine.
Good victim. Okay. Not me. Good. Good subject. Catherine's a pretty girl. Good looking girl. Man, she can get sharp and walk down here in the lobby, man. There's going to be some joke going to yell at her. Hey, Catherine. What's your name again? Catherine. Lord have mercy. You know? She could go out here, boy. She can go out here tonight and hang around. And there's going to be some jokers going to come at her. A lot of y'all like that. Y'all know, you know, you got dressed up and went out here, you know. You might be kind of casual sitting here, but if you really want to, you know, you can, you know, fit some stuff up a little bit, you know. But see, that's the power I'm talking about. Women carry a lot of innate power. It's a power in you. And you got to govern that thing because that thing can be dangerous, man. I'd be scared to be a woman, really, because, man, there's a lot of stuff can go on with a woman. Because it's an embedded power that if you tap into it and you use that thing, you can slip into witchcraft and it'll be just as normal to you as breathing. The way you look, the way your eyes look, the way you, what you're looking at, you know, how you dress, how you walk, how you sit, how you talk, all that can be used as witchcraft. All right, Catherine, I didn't want to. Yeah, I'm safe, you know. I mean, I use victims every once in a while. I use people to illustrate every once in a while, but I'm just trying to make a point. I'm trying to use visual enhancements to show you that this stuff is real. If you change character and slip into this thing, man, you can be in witchcraft in milliseconds. You could be at your job and it just come on you because you saw somebody that you were attracted to and you slip in that thing, that spirit will come on you. That's why you got to know yourself and monitor yourself to see. The Bible says you got to examine yourself to see. Am I in the faith right now? Examine yourself to see what spirit I'm in. Sure. Jesus told Peter, you don't know what spirit you're of. You got to examine what spirit is behind the scenes motivating you to do what you do. Not what you do, but why do you do what you do? Witchcraft is a real force. And without God governing your mind and letting the Lord lead you, you'll slip into getting your way. You could use on your husband to get your way. Be a witch influencing and manipulating your husband to get your way. He won't do what you says, so ain't gonna be no sex tonight. Won't be, I bet you, I know one thing ain't going down tonight. You know what you are? You're a witch. You're a witch. This is real stuff. This is where the demons have these inroads. You got to examine in your life how much you've used this on folk. I mean, you could sit here right now, everybody look calm, looking straight ahead now, but hey, you got to examine yourself as I'm talking. I say what I'm saying to make you begin to search through yourself and look at this thing. You thought you were doing something out there, and God of heaven is looking down at you, knowing everything you're doing, and seeing you using this witchcraft to control your environment. A lot of folks got married using witchcraft. Now you got to undo that and go to before God and repent for using witchcraft to marry this guy. And that's what's bringing the force into your home that's not right. You're trying to figure out why my home won't get right because you got married as a witch. The Holy Ghost didn't put you together. Your witchcraft put you together. Now you have a home dedicated to whom? Satan. Because you're a witch. Same thing happens with a guy. He used the same old manipulation and witchcraft to get women, get married, and the home is dedicated to witchcraft, working through a warlock. It's not pretty. It's not a nice thing. We've got to deal with reality and undo the damage the devil did. Worldly things can be exalted in your life and you'll feel like, hey, I've arrived, only to find out the essence of it all is evil. Evil is at the root of it. And God is saying, don't try to trick me. Don't try to play me. Because I can see further than you. As a matter of fact, I knew what you were going to do before you even did it. You can't get around God. He's too wide. You can't get over him. He's too high. Can't go under him. He's too deep. You might as well just do what? Yield. Lord, you put your finger on me. You got me dead to right. Hands raised is an act of what?
Surrender.
Hey, look, hey, look. I'm not arguing. Put on the cuffs. You know, yeah, whatever. You got to surrender and stop trying to go around it. So rebellion is this witchcraft because it tries to get your own will using the innate manipulation embedded into the human mind and soul that's not going to submit to God. Church runs on witchcraft. They make you feel guilty to give tithes. That's witchcraft. Anything that manipulates you, intimidates you, or dominates you is witchcraft. You gotta, when you feel that in you, you gotta know it. And hey, look, that's the devil. If you feel intimidated, dominated, or manipulated, Satan. Just use it as a governor. Keep yourself free. So that's witchcraft now. And it's always against the government of God, and it usurps and replaces that government with self-will. Stubbornness is like idolatry. It's idolatry of self. See, when it's like if somebody tells you to do something, but you do it real slow. Say, man, go over here and move that. You. I say, move it. Okay, I'm moving it. Stubbornness. It's self-idolatry. I'll do it when I see fit and I'll do it my way. You're stubborn. It's self-idolatry. It resists repentance and change. Why does it resist repentance and change? It worships itself above God. I will do it, but I'll do it my way. And the root of stubbornness is pride. Pride makes you stubborn. You say, man, just break and let go. No, I will not. But you're detrimental to, you know, pride will lead you to self-destruction. God is trying to stop you from destroying yourself, but pride comes before your destruction. And a haughty, lifted up spirit comes before your fall. And God is doing everything he can to tell you to stop. See, God can't make you do anything. He can set up parameters and situations to influence you and to show you where you're wrong. But then you have to do what? Yield. You got to yield and stop doing what you're doing before you kill your crazy self. So you got witchcraft and stubbornness just working on us, trying to make us contrary to God. Where does it come from? It comes from the devil. Look at Isaiah 14. The devil is a characterization of these two elements, witchcraft and stubbornness. Which is idolatry. Isaiah 14, look at verse 12. He says, how art thou fallen from heaven, Lucifer? Now the word Lucifer means the light bearer. See, Satan was the light bearer. What made Satan a light bearer? The Bible says he had all this instrumentation built into him when he was created. You'll find that in Ezekiel 28. He was built with musical instrumentation built into his persona. When he began to sing, he would light up and it illuminated God's throne. Any songs in church that don't illuminate the throne of God are not received by God. Church is not a place for entertainment. Church is a place for worship. I will reiterate that.
Yes.
Church is not a place for the entertainment of the people. Church is a place to worship God.
Yes.
So if you come and you start making personalities and stars of singers and musicians, you're in the world entertaining yourself. Has nothing to do with God.
Amen.
I will enter his gates with what?
Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts. And you enter into the Holy of Holies with worship. Every step is a step of bowing down lower until you're finally laying prostrate in worship before God. It prostrates the human internally before God so your spirit man can worship God. You got to deny self to worship God. That's why you can't drag the filth from the world in the church and put it forth as some form of worship of God. Listen to what people really say in lyrics. It's about their life, hard knocks, where I came from. And then they start talking, now I'm a son of the king. No, man, you're not worshiping God. You're just entertaining the people. They're crying and emotional because they can identify with what you came from because they came from the same thing and you haven't worshiped God yet. Forsake everything down here and become a worshiper, and it'll set you free. Satan refused to worship God. He was a light bearer. He was the illuminator of the throne. He was the anointed cherub that covered God's throne with light. He bathed the arena in light. That was his job. He was the worship leader. The ancient name for Satan is Hallel. We get the word hallelujah from his name. What does hallelujah mean? Praise ye the Lord. Praise to Jah. Hallelujah. Praise ye Jah. That's where we get hallelujah from. It came from Satan's ancient name. So you see now you had three predominant angels. Hallel, Michael, and Gabriel. All of them had functions in God's economy. But this anointed cherub was leading worship. And when he did, all of heaven would burst out in light because he was a glorified angel called to stand over the throne of God to cover and bathe that throne in worship. And imagine hundreds, possibly trillions of angels led by this one angel worshiping God in heaven. That's a lot of power, man. And this nut fell from that. And you're trying to follow this boob? I mean, come on, man. He says, how are you fallen from heaven, Lucifer, son of the morning? How are you cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will also ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like who? Yet you shall be brought down to hell to the sides of the pit. They shall see thee. They that see thee shall narrowly look upon you and consider you, saying, is this the man? That's a bad interpretation in the Hebrew. The real word is this the fellow or the person that made the earth to tremble, that did shake kingdoms? So you see what happened to him. He tried to lift up, cast down. Every time a proud person tries to lift up in God's economy, he casts him down. But if you humble yourself, he'll lift you up. The way up is down. Don't try to lift up. Just get more humble and God will exalt you in due season as he sees fit. You don't have to try to push your way into the kingdom of God. Just abdicate to God and humble yourself and he'll do what he wants to do with you. He'll move you around like a chess piece. But, you know, all this sweaty gospel and all this trying is what's undermining the church with effort, human effort. So you got a matriarchal government here governed by this witchcraft working angel that uses his will. And, you know, when he used his will against God's will, he operated in witchcraft even to the extent of bewitching the angels. He talked to them and bewitched them to get them to follow him. That's the power of a rebel. Rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and you'll find that rebels never walk alone. They'll always try to influence other people because they're in rebellion against proper authority, and they try to lead you into rebellion too. That's a character trait of every rebel. They try to get other folks to follow them. It's a matriarchal system. What I mean by matriarchal is this. Since he rebelled against the father who is patriarchal, he had no other choice but to become matriarchal. You see what I'm saying? What makes him what he is he rebelled against the image of fatherhood. So he fell into this image of being like a weak, emaciated, behind the scenes deceiver. And he became matriarchal. So he went to the woman. See, he didn't go right to Adam. He went to the weaker vessel and had the weaker vessel influenced to deal with Adam. That's the devil's, man, that's the devil 101. He'll always do that. So you see now he's a matriarchal person governing witches and warlocks. The thing that governs the devil's kingdom is masculine women and whores dealing with effeminate men and homosexuals. So you got masculine women and whores that govern over effeminate men and homosexuals. Now that's ugly, man. That's an ugly. If you look at society, now take a step back and look at society, and you'll see masculine women and whores. Masculine women are the masters. Whores are the attack dogs of the masculine women. See, the masculine women want to usurp men and govern. So they sick the whores on the men to make the men weak. So once the whores have worked on the men to make them weak, then the masculine women can rule. That's why you sick Monica Lewinsky on Bill and Hillary rules. That's the prototype of the devil's attack. What did he do with Adam and Eve? He sicked Eve on Adam and the devil took over. You got to know what's going on down here now. If you just took that whole lump of people, masculine women, whores, effeminate men, and homosexuals, if you can find that the one word, that one word would be sodomites. He rules over a kingdom of sodomites. That's his essence. Look at society at large. The whole world is being sodomized. Every Sunday around 10 o'clock, congregations gather in buildings all over the nation and the world, calling them church services, and the people gather to be sodomized. They live in sodomite colonies in church. What makes it a sodomite colony? Illegal entry through a forbidden orifice that's not lawful. Having sex in your anus or oral sex is sodomy. It's illegal entry into a forbidden orifice. Spiritual sodomy is entering through your soul and not your spirit. So they get sodomized every week out there at T.D. Jakes' church. As he works them up emotionally, he enters in through the soul. A soulish ministry is sodomizing you. What's it doing? It's appealing to your emotions and your feelings, not your spirit. When you talk to a person's spirit, if I'm talking to your spirit, the Bible says, deep calleth unto deep. He's taught spirit to spirit contact. You know what will happen to you if I'm talking to your spirit right now? If I'm not talking soulishly and I'm not appealing to your emotions, what's happening to you right now, I don't have to be inside of you. I'll tell you what's happening to you. I'm talking to your spirit. And your spirit is communing with your mind and you're thinking. So you're not feeling, you're thinking. That's God talking to you when you're thinking. If you start, oh, oh, yeah, that's the devil. Because he just did you what Luther Vandross can do to you. Remember them goosebumps you feel when Luther started? The chair is still a chair. Even when there's no one sitting there. And you were just, he was a homosexual. A homosexual will sodomize you and you up there throwing them your panties.
Oh my goodness.
Close the door. Let me rub your back where you say it's so. That joke was dating a transvestite.
Oh my.
You don't think it works? You had a natural inclination as a woman to be attracted to a sodomite homosexual man in the flesh, in the world. And that's what the devil sent to entertain you. Prince, Michael Jackson, Luther Vandross, Teddy Pendergrass. See, somebody said, not Teddy. I was with you until you got to Teddy. And they worked you up emotionally through repetition and saying the same thing over and over again. Remember old Lenny Williams? Oh,